Right, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Teh today. I'll begin on Kuf Chaf Chen Beis in the Mishnah. Let's take a look at the Mishnah you did yesterday, around 10 lines from where it gets wide, on Kuf Chaf Chet 128b. So the Mishnah says, Ein Mialdin Rebehim B'Yom Tov, we're not allowed to assist the animal to give birth on Yom Tov. It means, in other words, let's say to pull the fetus out of the mother, the animal is giving birth. I can't do that. Aval Masadin, but I could be Messiah. So the Gemara has two pshatim on what it means, the what Messiah means. It could be either to help the offspring stand up, or to press the mother in a way that assists the offspring exiting the mother. He says, then going now, switching to humans, umiyalden aisha b'shabbat, but a person can assist a woman giving birth on Shabbos, and we can summon a midwife to come from place to place, even if it's outside the tchum. He says, umechalin alera shabbat, we be mechal Shabbos. In other words, the woman we view as in the case of sakana, b'koshen and atibur, and we can tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yossi says we can even cut the umbilical cord. Then, and the next topic is v'chol tzarchei milah osim b'shabbat. All the needs for bris milah we could do on Shabbos. So there's really three different dinim that we have here. One is with the animals, and the animals we could just assist a little bit. And then the humans we could do much more for. And then all the dinim for the bris milah we're allowed to do on Shabbos. Okay, any questions on the Mishnah? All right, now let's slip down to three lines below the from the bottom on
Kuf. Rabbi, what would be the problem with cutting the umbilical cord?
Say again, repeat.
What would be the problem with cutting the cord?
Yeah, so it might be, I'd say in a minute, it might be a question. I don't know if it's makib or patish. Let me just see, what does he say?
How about tying the knot? You're tying a knot. That's a problem, no?
Right, everyone, he said everyone allows you to tie it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's the... In other words, what's from the chotech? Yeah. So I assume, yeah. He says here, if you look in footnote 39 in the Art Scroll, Tosos maintains that cutting the umbilical cord does not involve any biblical malacha. Other commentators, however, disagree. In either event, it's permitted to cut the cord according to Rabbi Yossi, because not doing so possesses. So the Tanakhama, however, holds that once infant is tied, uncut does not pot. So. So it seems like this. Seems like a machloket rishonim, whether there's a deraisa malach involved in cutting the umbilical cord. So according to some, there is a deraisa malach involved with cutting the cord. So what would be the malacha? So let me take a look quickly. 330:27. Give me 1 second. Let me send it in. Yeah, so he says here, this is in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Lamed, Magen Avraham says cutting the umbilical cord is just a shvut, just a din derabanan. And then the Rambam says the name, he says, the Sefer Kovetz la Rambam. Kovetz kat b'shem Sefer Shem l'David shochiach di'ish was a yisur d'oraita. Rak hacha mutar ayin sham. All right, so I'm not so clear on what the problem is here with this. 1 minute. I need to look more into it. I'm so sorry. But what comes to my mind, if it's a malacha d'oraita, so the only thing that comes to my mind, if you were cutting on a specific line, that would be chaticha. That doesn't sound like the case here with the umbilical cord. On the other hand, maybe it is. You know, the machatcho, but if you're cutting the leather, that could potentially be the malacha deraisa, or maybe makib patish might be a malacha deraisa that come into play here. I'm not sure. So, but if it's a din rabbanan, I would think it's like metakin mana, like you're fixing the person. Like that's what I would think. But I need to look into it. I'm so sorry, Yosef. Okay, Bli Neder, I will try to remember to look into it more for tomorrow, okay? All right. Okay, let's take a look now. Let's take a look on Kuf Chaf Chen Beis. We're on 2 lines from the bottom, 3 lines from the bottom. So Amrav Yudamar Shmuel, Chaya, Kuzman Shekever Patuach Bein Amrat Sricha Ani Bein Lo Amrat Sricha Ani Bechalin Al Shabbat. So a woman who's given birth, as long as her womb is open, and we'll discuss what the period is when the womb is open, he says whether she says, I need help, or she doesn't say that, we'd be Mechal Shabbos. It means that her friends say she needs help or something like that, we'd be Mechal Shabbos. In other words, she's in a state of sakana. She's sakanas tefashot. Nistama kever, once the womb is closed, bein amra, next page, Tzrichani, bein lo amra tzrichani, eimichalina Shabbat. Once it's closed. So the key issue, again, we have Shmuel's halacha, and Rabbi Huda's quoting Shmuel. So the issue seems to be on whether it's niftach a kever or nistama kever. And it's interesting, the womb, which is the source of life, is called the kever. And when a person's buried, they're put in a kever. It's just interesting. You have, like, in the Hebrew, sometimes you have that, like, something, two opposites, you know, the source of life and the end of life, it, you know, have the same name, kever. Anyway, the womb is called the kever. Anyway, so when the kever is open, so you can do everything for the woman. When the kever is closed, you can't. That's the first lashon in Shmuel. So on the second line from the top, Rabashi matni hachi. Rabashi learns the way we just learned. Mar Zutra matni hachi. Mar Zutra learns as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chaya kuzman shekever patuach, bein amra tzricha ani, bein amra ein tzricha ani, mechalin al Shabbat. So the first part is the same. They both agree that Shmuel said when the kever is patuach, that the womb is open, so mechal her for Shabbos, whether she says, I need it or I don't need it, we mechal Shabbos for her. But nistama kever, here's the chiluk, when the womb is closed, amrit sricha ani mechalina Shabbat, if she says, I need help, then we'll be mechal Shabbos for her. He says, lo amrat sricha ani e mechalina Shabbat. But if she says, I don't need it, then we wouldn't be mechal Shabbos. So again, we have two lashonos in this, right? The first lashonos, everybody agrees, if niftach a kever, so then we're Mechal Shabbos for her, whether she says, I need help, I don't need help, we're Mechal Shabbos. But Nistam HaKever, and we'll clarify shortly what it means, Niftach and Nistam, but Nistam HaKever, according to the first Lashon, all bets are off, and then we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for her. According to the second Lashon, if she says, I need help, then we would be Mechal Shabbos for her. So Amalei Ravina LeMereimar, so Ravina says to Mereimar, Mazutra Matni LeKula, Marzutra's version of Shmuel is lenient, the second version. Ravashi matnil chumra. And Ravashi learns the first way, which is a more stringent version of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Hilchata kaman, who's the halacha like? So how do we guide ourselves? So Amarlei, Hilchata halacha kamar zutra. We're going to follow the lenient version. He says, why? Safek nefashot lahakil. When it comes to safek nefashot, so you always take the lenient version. And so that's the way we're going to go with. All right, now, so what we learned is that, again, we'll just do this, according to a woman, it's once niftach hakever, which we're going to identify shortly, once niftach hakever, we can do everything for her, whether she says, I need help, or she doesn't say, I need help, but other people say she needs help, then we'll be mechal Shabbos for her. Then nistam hakever, when the womb is closed, and we'll identify that period of time shortly, if she says, I need help, we'll still be mechal Shabbos for her, but if she says, I'm okay, then we wouldn't be mechal Shabbos for her, okay? Okay, so let me go over a few more lines and I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, this is six lines above where it gets wide. Me'ematai p'tichat hakever. Now, what is p'tichat hakever? When is the womb open? And Michael, maybe you'll come in here a little bit and give us some medical guidance in a little bit. So he says, me'ematai p'tichat hakever. Amar Abayi mishash teshev alamashbir. Abayi says, from the time the woman sits on the birthing stool. In other words, women used to sit like on a stool, like, and so the baby would come, you know, instead of being flat on a bed, like I think it's a little bit easier that way, like gravity helps you type of thing. So you're sitting. So, but clearly, like they said in the article, in the footnotes, that if she's in labor, then that definitely counts as that. He says, Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Mar, Mishashatam Shotet V'Yored. From the time that blood starts dripping out as a result of the birthing process, then that's p'tichat hakever. And he says, "Va'amri lo mishasha chavirta no sorota bi'agapeh." And others say it's when she can't walk by herself; she needs her friends to help carry her. And these could refer to like three different periods of time, but any one of them, you know, would be the p'tichat hakever. Would be the p'tichat hakever. So it means p'tichat hakever is even before the child is born, even before the child crowns. You have p'tichat hakever, and then we could be mechal Shabbos for her across the board. That's what we said. He says, "Ad matai p'tichat hakever." How long is p'tichat hakever? Meaning, when is nistam hakever? How does that work? So Amar Abaye Shlosha Yamim. Abaye says, like for 3 days, now it's the questionable, this machlokut Rishonim, is it 3 days from the time of p'tichat hakever So it's 3 days from the time that she had the first of those simanim, or is it 3 days from the birth? But 3 days, then she's in the state of Pticha Kever. He says, Rav Amar Mishmeid Rav Yehuda Shiva. Rav says 7 days. And Ba'amri Lo Shloshim, and some say 30. And we'll see in a minute that there's going to be a chiluk in dinim between 3 days, 7 days, and 30 days. You know, it's interesting. Here we're talking about a birth. Where else do we have these periods of time, 3, 7, and 30? Where does this come up? What do you got for me, Olivia?
Avelut.
Avelus, right, 100% correct. Yeah, isn't it interesting? In Avelus, you have Shloshal Bechi, 3 days for crying. Then you have Shiva, is the period of Shiva, and the Shloshim. It's interesting that here Chazal have the same, and then it's called Kever, where the child is, the womb is called the Kever. It's just interesting.
Circle of life.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, now here's the first wide line on Kuf Chav Tet Amud Aleph. This is the important line. So Amri Neherdoi, Livy, you have to mute yourself, okay? So Amri Neherdoi, the Neherdian say, Chaya Shlosha, that Shiva Ushloshim. In other words, a Chaya is a woman who's just given birth. There are three periods of time, 3 days, 7 days, and 30 days that we got. So he says, Shlosha means in the first 3 days. He says, till the end of the third day. That fits in well what we said. We said as long as it's Pticha Kever, and we said according to one opinion, Pticha Kever goes for 3 days, then we do everything for her. He says Shiva means from the end of the third day till the end of the seventh day. Amra Tzricha Ani Mechalina Shabbat. Amra Lo Tzricha Ani E Mechalina Shabbat. He says, only if she says, I need assistance, then we'd be Michal Shabbos, otherwise not. He says, Shloshim means from the end of Shiva till the Shloshim, Afilu Amr Tzricha Ani, E Michal in a Shabbat. We wouldn't be Michal Shabbos. From the end of the seventh day to the end of the 30th day, we wouldn't be Michal Shabbos for her. He says, Aval Osina Yidei Aramai. But we would work with a non-Jew to help her. It means, it sounds like she's going from a chola sheyeshbo sakana. We have, remember, three types of chola. We have mechush ba'alma, like a minor, you know, transitory, you know, discomfort. Then we have chola sheyeshbo sakana, that's the chola that's like nafal mishkav, he's lying in the bed, or chala kugufo, but he's not in danger of his life. And then chola sheyeshbo sakana. So it sounds like at this point we're transitioning from the third one, from C to B. Says chola sheyeshbo sakana. He says we're on the fourth wide line, Aram Moshe, on kuf chav tet amud aleph. Welcome. So he says here, Kidrab Ula Bray the Rabbi Loi, the Amar called Sarche Chola Nasin Al Yidei Aramai B'Shabbat. That all the Sarche Chola, it's talking about a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. So a person, he's like confined to bed, it's Chala Kol Gufo. So then we would ask a non Jew to do things for such a Chola. He says, You say to Nachri, and he does the work for you. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. So we're on the sixth very wide line, or eighth very wide line, on Kuf Chav Tet 129a. Amar Yudamar Shmuel, L'chaya Shloshim Yom. He says, for a chaya is a woman who's given birth. So he says, L'chaya Shloshim Yom, there's a time limit of 30 days. So Lamai Hilchata, what halacha was he referring to? So the Gemara says, Amri Neherdoi L'Tevila. So the Neherdian said, it's a din in Tevila that she should not be tovel in a mikvah. And it was the mikvah were unheated, so she shouldn't be tovel in a mikvah. And she might need to be tovel in a mikvah because she wants to handle taharot when a woman gives birth. By ipso facto, she's tameya because of what's coming out of her. So the she might want to be tovel just to handle taharot, but she shouldn't be tovel for 30 days, the Nardins are saying. So Amar Rava lo Amran el she'in ba'al ima. That's only if the husband's not around. Aba ba'al ima ba'al machama. If the husband's around, so from Rashi it sounds like they could have relations, and then she'll be heated up, warmed up that way. Ki had de brate de Rav Chista, like the daughter of Rav Chista, Tavlo begot latin yomin shlobef nebaylo, she was tova within 30 days of giving of childbirth, not in the presence of her husband, who was Rava. He says, it's taniyat. And then she became chilled or whatever. And again, so there are mikvahs, the water wasn't heated, they ever did in caves or whatever. So he says here, v'amtui la'arsa batrei de Rava de Pumpadita. They brought her in a bed to Rava and Pumpadita, and that helped her out. Okay, let me pause for 1 second. Let me pause for a second. Okay, so the let's just summarize a little bit what we're doing here with the whole thing. By the way, with this incident with the daughter of Rav Chista, I don't, you know, how long, we began Daf Yomi on January the 1st, right? That's when the Siyum was. But we began it on January the 4th. So now it's July. So it's 6 months, more than 6 months, 6.5 months since we began this Master of Daf Yomi. So does anybody remember when we had the daughter of Rav Chista with Rava mentioned in the sugya? Do you remember, anybody remember that? Anyway, so there's a sugya in Brachot. Remember with Bar Hedya, he was the fellow with Rava, Abaye and Rava. Remember that I think Abaye would pay him money and he gave positive interpretations of the dream, and Rava wouldn't pay him and he gave negative interpretations of the dream. And one of the dream, one of the interpretations he gave was that Rava's wife would die. He had a lot of other interpretations. And then they're going on a boat, and then they see like a sefer drops from his arm, and it says that everything with a dream depends on the interpretation. And so Rava said that I forgive you for everything except for the daughter of Rav Chista. In other words, his wife died after he gave this interpretation. But that's what came to my mind. Anyway, so the basic idea we're learning is that when a woman, first, that even before a woman gives birth, niftach hakever, once the kever, the womb opens, and we had the three different shiurim for when the womb opens, but it means like she goes into significant labor, and or the blood is coming out, or she's on the mashbir, or her friends are helping along. So at that point in time, we regard her as a chola sheshvo sakana. She's, and we're mechal Shabbos for her, and we do whatever she needs. And even if she says she doesn't need things, we do things for her. Her friends say that she needs help. And then we said, according to the way it came out from the Neherdians, the Neherdoi said that from 3 days, and then we'll continue to do that for her for 3 days. And then from 3 days to from the end of the third day to the end of the seventh day, we said, if she says Shricha ani mechal in the Shabbat, if she says I need help, then we'll be mechal Shabbos, otherwise not. And to the end of the 30 days, then we wouldn't even do that, but we would help, we would treat her as a chol she'ein bo sakan at that point in time. That's the way the Aradians say. I didn't check up the halach on this, but I see that it looks like the Dalit is over there, so I have a feeling that's the way the halach, that's the Rambam. All right, I didn't check up the halach on this. All right, but that's the basic idea. But the idea is that at a certain point, she's a chol she'ein bo sakana, and at a certain point, she transfers over to being a chol she'ein bo sakana. And the idea is that a chol she'ein bo sakana, you can speak to a goy and help and to help you with it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up? Let me hear you, Malka. Unmute. Malka, you have to unmute. Yeah, go. Yeah.
Yeah. To do things that you're not allowed to do.
No, there's an exception to the rule. In other words, that's what the Gemara is saying. In other words, okay. normally you don't see the goyim, but if you're chol she'ein bo sakana, you could. That's what it's all about. Okay? All right. Everybody good? Okay. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Okay, so we're around the 10th very wide line on Kuf. Mute yourself again, Malka. You're on the 10th very wide line on Kuf Chav Ted Amud Aleph. All right, let me help you out. Okay, good. Okay, so Amar Rav Yudamar Shmuel, Osi Medura L'Chaya B'Shabbat. We can build a fire for a Chaya, a woman who's just given birth. In other words, you're actually doing what would otherwise be a Malacha D'Oraisa. Now, in parentheses, we have Bimodak Shamim in the rainy season, which would be the winter, but Savar Mina L'Chaya in L'Cholalo. So they thought that's only for a Chaya, not for a Chola. And I assume he means a Chola Sheshbo Sakana. He says, one second, Chola. Yeah. Oh, he says, no, let's see further. Let me get back. L'cholo, b'modah g'shamim in, b'modah chamalo. Just they thought only in the winter, not the summer. V'lohi, lo shena chayav, lo shena chola. Let me say what I'm saying. With the chola, one second. Yeah, now he means by chola here. I didn't say correctly. Yeah, I think he means a chola sheishbo sakana. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. You're right. Yeah. Okay, one second. Let me just double check. Let me see what I'm saying. One second.
Art Scroll says that Shmuel's teaching you that the cold of a woman is considered endangered for 30 days.
Yeah, but...
So it's unique to cold, to tzina.
Not critically ill.
Yeah, it sounds like there's different ways to interpret the sugya. He says something here.
21.
I see. One. Right. Okay. So the question is like this. It's not clear. Is Shmuel talking about a woman between 3 and 7 days of childbirth, or between 7 and 30 days of childbirth? When we talk about the chola, that's the issue that we're talking about. So let's go back in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, let me see this line in the Gemara. So osa medur l'chaya b'shabbat, right? L'chaya and l'chola lo. So it means we're talking about a woman. So one way to understand the Gemara is the woman who just gave birth, so then she is considered, in sakanas nafashot. But if we assume, like those Rishonim who say that the second part, l'chola, is the woman between 7 days and 30 days, so then he says, so sabrin l'chola chai in l'chola lo, b'morak shem l'chola lo. He says, v'lo we, lo shna chai, v'lo shna chola, lo shna b'morak shem lo b'morak chama, midid mar, amrav chibar abin mar Shmuel. In other words, he wants to say that this would be the way you were saying, Michael, that if we say it's the woman between, 3 days and 7 days, then even for her, we could build a fire on Shabbos, and even her we regard as being misukenet. That's the way it would be. But if I say it's the woman from 7 to 30 days, it's just teaching me a din about the cold. In other words, like that's the part I think you were saying, Michael. He says, right. So one way to say is like the heat is critical for a woman between 3 days and 7 days. That's one way to understand it. But if I say it's a woman within 30 days, so then we would say that we normally don't regard like the parallel case of a sick person as being not critically ill, but when the non-critical woman who has given birth should be in danger with regard to cold, the non-critical sick person is not considered in danger at all. Wait. Sorry, I didn't say right. What is that? Wait. Is that? Give me one more second. One more second. Let me just give me one second. I'm so sorry. One second. Right. So one way is to say that it's the woman between 7 days and 30 days, and even though she's normally not considered to be in a state of sakana, but with cold we regard her to be in a state of sakana. So he says, therefore, whereas all other malacha needs are done on the Shabbos through a Gentile once 7 days have elapsed, her warming needs are done on Shabbos through a Jew until 30 days have elapsed. So that's one way to understand it. Okay, so it could be talking about a woman between 7 and 30 days. Normally we say she's a chola she'ein bo sakana, so I would ask the goy to do the malacha for her. But with regard to being cold, that's critical. And even in there, if that's the pshat, then we can even light the fire for her. That's the one way to learn it. And then he says, the Beir Halacha, however, demonstrates that many other Rishonim says Shmuel is referring specifically to a woman within 3 or 7 days of having given birth, and teaching that adequacy is considered critical for her during this time. So, or the other way is to say, the other way, why am I getting confused with this? One second.
There's no chiddush from 3 to 7 because if she says
wait. The Maduro is for the chai.
Where did they get the 3, 7, and 30 what? Numbers from?
One second. All right. One second. But then the Gemara teaches, one second, the Gemara, wait, I'm so sorry. The Gemara teaches, one second. All right, I see. Okay. So he says like this. One more stab at this, okay? So he says, Shmuel has two dinim. He says, Shmuel says, Osa medur l'chaya b'shabbat, I can make a fire for a chaya as a woman who's just given birth. So the question is, when I say just given birth, what period of time is that? So some say that it's the woman who gave birth within the past 30 days, and even though she's not in danger after 7 days, but with regard to cold, she's still in danger. That would be the din with the chaya. And the Beir Halacha says when he refers to Chaya, other Rishonim say that he's referring to a woman within 3 or 7 days of giving birth. So the Chaya part is either talking about a woman within 3 days or 7 days, or it might possibly be a woman within 30 days. So within 30 days, we said that she's not in danger, but with the cold, we still consider her to be in danger. That would be the pshat. But then the chola is going to be the equivalent case by the chola. So he says, so again, so osim midur l'chai b'shabbat, so savur minan l'chai in l'chola lo. The chola not. Now, the chola, so if we say it's talking within 30 days, so the woman is normally considered a chola she'en bo sakana at that point in time. So the chola would be a chola she'en bo sakana. So the thinking would be that the woman is specifically vulnerable, but the regular chola, not. That's what we would have thought. Now, if we assume it's within 3 and 7 days, so the chola would be a chola she'esh bo sakana, but with regard to cold, we think that he's not in danger. That would be the way it would go. Okay, let me go back again to the Gemara. Okay, now, wait, got it. Okay, now, let me take again. I'm sorry. Okay, so let's say it again. So Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, Osim Midur L'Chaya B'Shabbat. So Shmuel says we can make a fire for a Chaya. Chaya is a woman who's just given birth. So the question is, what is Shmuel talking about? At which point in the period is he talking about? So some want to say he's talking about even in the period of 30 days, where she would be like a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, but with the cold, we regard her to be in Sakana, so we could build a fire for her. Or others say, no, it's talking about a woman within 3 or 7 days when we regard her more as Mesukan. So he says, so the Gemara says, Savrman al-Chai in l'cholalo. They thought that only for a Chaya can I build the fire, but for the equivalent case of a Chola, I can't build the fire. So if it's the woman within the 3 or 7 days, the equivalent case of Chola would be Chola Shiyesh Bo Sakana. And I would have thought that the cold is not so injurious to him. Or if I say it's a woman within 30 days, then the equivalent case would be a chola she'ein bo sakana, because that's what's her status. I would have thought I couldn't do it. So he says, bimodek shamim in bimodek hamalo. They thought it was only during the rainy season, not during the summer. Velohi, lo shana chaya, velo shana chola. Doesn't matter if it's a chaya or it's a chola. Lo shana bimodek shamim, lo shana bimodek hama, mi de itmar, amar of chibar abin mar shmuel. So in other words, it's going to come out that for a chola, we could build a fire. So if we say it's the 3 to 7 days, so it would be for a chola she'esh bo sakana, that's pashut. But if we say it's a chola she'ein bo sakana, the chiddush would be teaching me that even a chola she'ein bo sakana, if he's chilled out, that becomes a whole sakana form. That would be the way you'd learn the pshat. So he says here, because Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel, Heikis dam ben itzta'nein, if a person had blood let from him and he became chilled, osin lo madura filip tkufa tamuz, we could build a fire for him even in the middle of the summer, even in tkufa tamuz. In other words, getting chilled, the Gemara views, is a very dangerous situation. And let me just finish this little piece, and I'll go back. Shmuel salchulei tachtekod shaga. Shmuel, when he had blood let from him, you know, when he gave blood or whatever, so they chopped up like this wooden chair. In other words, that's the only wood they had, and they chopped up this nice chair to build a fire for him because it was so necessary. Rav Yehuda salchulei p'tor diyavna. Rav Yehuda chopped up a table from the yavna wood. He says the rabbit salchulei sharshifa. For rabba, they chopped up a footstool. In other words, they had no other wood, but he had blood, and he got chilled, so he felt it was so necessary. We're chopping up the furniture to keep them going. But Amalei Abai LaRabba, so Abai said to Rabba, "Vaka Avar Mar Mishum Bal Tashrit." Now, Rabba was one of the people who chopped something up, right? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabba, right? They chopped up the sharshifa, the footstool. So he says, "Aren't you over for Bal Tashrit? You're destroying something which is, you know, very usable. Now we don't have it around anymore." So Amalei Bal Tashrit Gufay Adifli. That's a nice line to remember. You want to say like the Bal Tashrit of my body is more important to me. In other words, is the Bal Tashrit for the furniture, and is the Bal Tashrit for me. So I'm concerned about my Bal Tashrit. Let me just do 4 more lines, and then we'll come back. So Amar Avinu Marav, Lelamim Kordam Kuro Beito, Bikach Minalim L'Raglav. A person should even sell the beams of his house and purchase shoes to put on his feet. In other words, rather than go barefoot, he should sell the beams of the house. The idea being that it's a very tremendous disgrace to go around barefoot. That's what I think Rashi says. Let's see the Rashi with this. Where's the Rashi? He says, one second, higher up. We're higher up. higher up. Yeah, it's around the 10th hour line of Rashi from the top. There's no greater disgrace than a person walking barefoot in the marketplace. And I'll remind me to tell you a story in a minute. If he had bloodlet and he has nothing to eat, so even though shoes are important, if he has bloodlet and he has nothing to eat, he should sell the shoes so he gets something to eat, because eating is very important after bloodletting. So my tsarche suda, what is tsarche suda? Rav amar basar, Shmuel amar yayin. In other words, what food or liquid should he take in after having the bloodlet? So Rav says meat and Shmuel says wine. Rav amar basar, Rav says meat, nafsha chalaf nafsha, like a soul for a soul. Like the dam is called nefesh and the basar is a nefesh, so you're replacing what you lost. And Shmuel amar yayin sumka chalaf sumka. Shmuel says yayin, wine, red instead of red, like you have the red blood, the red wine. I don't know what to say about that. Okay, now the basic idea we learned is for the woman, again, there's different lashonos. So osim edur l'chaya, we can make a fire even on Shabbos for a chaya, for a woman who's just given birth. So we had two lashonos, or three lashonos, really. I was talking a woman within 3 days, or the woman within 7 days, or the woman within 30 days. So the big chiddush would be the woman in 30 days, even though for most dinim, she's a chola she'ein bo sakana, if that's the pshad, then, but for this, you're allowed to make the fire. And then we said that the same din would apply by a chola she'ein bo, well, it depends. If it's a woman within 3 or 7 days, so the equivalent din is by a chola she'ein bo sakana. So chola she'ein bo sakana, so I'm going to do the fire for him. I might have thought that the heat is not so significant. Kamash Blan, the heat is significant. But if I say it's the woman within 7 to 30 days, the equivalent case would be chola she'ein bo sakana, but teach me, even though he's a chola she'ein bo sakana, but heat is very important, and we're able to go forward with that. And then I'll mention one story. You know, Sal Wachler used to be the chief judge here in the state of New York. Unfortunately, he had some scandal, and he ended up resigning he lived for a while. He lived in Manhasset, not too far away from here. So he wrote a biography. In his biography, he writes that when he was younger, I think around age 7 or something like that, his family moved to Virginia. I don't know where they moved from, but they moved from somewhere in the north to Virginia. So in Virginia, he said, when he went to school, like all the kids went to school barefoot. And he asked his mother, he kept asking his mother if he could go barefoot. And the mother said, absolutely not. You know, but that's what comes to my mind. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? What do you got for me, Fern?
By the way, I was not even allowed to walk around my house barefoot as a kid. Where does the Gemara get 3730?
I don't know.
I know it corresponds to the Shiva, the Shloshim, but I'm sure that's not where they got it.
I don't know the answer to that question. It's just, I don't know if they had a Masorah.
The Shloshim was the Vlad many times in times of the Talmud. The Vlad, they were waiting 30 days to see if the Vlad was going to live.
We're talking about the mother, though, not the Vlad.
Here you're talking about the mother, not the Vlad. But when you got like she said, the Shiva and the Shloshim. So it could be that's where they got the, and the 3 days, the first 3 days obviously are critical, the first 3 days.
All right. I'm going to move on.
It has nothing to do with the Imahot or some biblical figure.
With Avelos, so we have Shiva is mentioned in Chumash, and Shloshim is also mentioned in the Chumash.
I'm not asking about the
Avelos. I understand. But I don't know where I don't know if it's just the observation or they had a Masorah. This is the way it is. I don't know. All right, let me move on. Now,
Dr. Fauci?
What?
Dr. Fauci?
Not Dr. Fauci. Okay, now, all right, let's take a look back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're around the 6 lines above where it gets very wide at the bottom. Everybody with me on Kuf Chav Ten Amud Aleph 129a. Okay, Siman Shenimsar. In other words, the Siman for the Chachamim that are coming up are Shin Nun Mem Samach Reish. And each the Shin is a Shmuel, and you'll see the other names. So Shmuel b'yomadabed milta avdilei tavshila t'takle. Shmuel, on the day that he has bloodlet, they made like a dish made out of spleen. And Rashi says, what does Rashi say? He says, where is it? He says, t'chol sumka chalaf sumka. It's like sumka the spleen, I don't know, was deep red, instead of the blood that went out. He says, Rabbi Yochanan shati adanafik tia miune. Rabbi Yochanan would drink wine, presumably, till the scent could be smelled from his ears. He says, Rabbi Nachman shati adakapi tachle. Rabbi Nachman would drink till his spleen was like floating. He says, Rabbi Yosef shati adanafik me rivda de kusilta. He would drink till like, sounds like till the, I don't know, the wine or whatever is coming out of like the puncture wound from the bloodletting. He says, Rabba Mahadir Chamra Bartlatza Tarfe. Rabba would try to look for wine of three leaves. So it comes out each year, they get another set of leaves on the vine. So it means three-year-old, or wine made from a three-year-old vine. He says, Amar Luhu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Rabbanan, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to the Chachamim, to his Talmidim, B'matutuminayichu b'yoma d'hakaza imru l'beitayichu Nachman ikla l'gaban. He says that you should tell your wives when you have hakaza, when the bloodletting, that Rav Nachman is coming today. So presumably, and this is what the article said, like it sounds like a ruse, so the wives will make a nice big meal and they'll be able to have a nice meal at that point in time. So he says, V'kulu yarume asiri bar mehai arama d'shari. All like deception or subterfuge is forbidden, except for the following subterfuge, which is permissible. Manda abid milta below efshale. If a person he had blood let, but he's not able to afford to buy wine, whatever. So lishko zuzamaka, he should take like a worn out zuz. We figure that the poor person maybe has a worn out zuz. He says v'lezi l'shav chanuta, and he'll go. Now the way that they would do it is when you went to the store, you got a chance to sample the wine prospectively before you bought it. So you'll go to each store under the representation that you're interested in buying wine, and then you'll taste a little bit of the wine, and then you'll say, I want to buy wine, and here's the coin I have. The guy will say, I don't want that money. And then you go to store seven times. He says, at the time, shear riviat until you have a riviat of wine. And the idea... Okay, wait. Please, remember our agreement here, okay? Okay, now, the idea is it's not considered like Geneva, because some people do accept the worn out coin, and he has the worn out coin. Okay, let's see further Gemara. Ve'ilo lechul shav tamari ukmenta. Otherwise, he should eat seven black. If he can't afford any of that, he should have seven black dates. Ve'leishav mishcha b'tzedei, and he should wipe oil on his temples. He says v'nignei b'shimsha and lie in the sun. Ablad Ashchi L'Shmuel Degani B'Shimsha. Ablad, who is a non-Jew, like throughout Shas, Shmuel has his friend Ablad, is like a Gentile scholar. So Ablad Ashchi L'Shmuel Degani B'Shimsha. Ablad encountered Shmuel, he was like lying in the sun. So Amalei Chakim Yudai Bisha Mihabitaba. They assume that lying in the sun was not healthy. So he says, how can you know what are you doing lying in the sun? So he says, Amalei Yomadah Kazuhu. He said, it's the day I had my bloodletting, and so I need to be lying in the sun. That's helpful when you have bloodletting. But the Gemara says, Velohi, that was not the case. So, Iki Yoma Damali Bashimsha, Bekulishata. He says, there is one day during the year when it is helpful to lie out in the sun. He says, Yoma Danaflebe Tkufa Tammuz, the day that Tkufa Tammuz, which is the summer solstice, that day is a good day. Besavar Lo Iglilei. Shmuel thought, I didn't want to reveal it to him. I wasn't sure why he didn't want to reveal that to Ablat. Ablat was his friend, and what's so terrible if Ablat would know it, but he didn't want to reveal it to him. All right, Aramosha, you have something quickly. Aramosha? Yeah, what do you got? I can't hear you.
I was talking about it's possibly Geneva's das, right, going one place to the other and drinking the samples.
Yeah, but the Gemara takes it, it's not, but I hear. Okay, let's go further. All right, now, let's take a look further in the Gemara, the third wide line. Hekil Baruach Tama Shah Siman. So the Simanim are Hekil, we're going to have four halachot from Shmuel. Hekil Baruach Tama and Shaha are the Simanim, Siman. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel, Darbi Tarbayu, Kulam Hekil Besudet HaKazadam, Mikil Lomazunotam and Hashemayim. If a person means he's like not careful with having a Suda after he has bloodletting, so in Shemayim, they're not careful that he's to have his Mizonot. He says, "Ba'omrim huachayav lochas ania chusalav." In other words, he's saying Shemayim, he's not careful with his own life. I should be careful to help him out. In other words, like b'midah shdamodei ba'modedim lo, the midah you exhibit. So if you're going around like in a reckless fashion, so they say we're not helping him out. He says, "Rabbi Shmuel." That's the first case. That was Mekil. That was Hekil. Now the second one is Beruach. Rabbi Shmuel d'Ami Tarvayu. So if a person, he had bloodlet, Avid Milta means he did something, but it means that it's referring to having your bloodlet. So he says, he shouldn't sit in a place where the wind is swirling. The wind is swirling. He says, Dilma Shafi Lay Umna Mukim La Riviata Va'ati Zika V'Shaif Minei Va'ati De Sakana. The Gemara says, maybe the guy who bloodled, he bled all your blood out like till you're less with the minimum amount. The Gemara takes the minimum amount as a Revius. I don't know if it has to be that only a Revius of blood maybe means like a Revius. I don't know. But I mean, the Gemara says, he took so much blood out, any more blood, you're going to be dead. So with the blood, the wind's swirling, the Gemara takes it and that might like leach out some more blood, so you shouldn't do it. And the idea is it's like a portico where you have the wind and so forth. Okay, now, Shmuel Abaragi of Avad Milta Bevet Shav Lebeinai of Aricha. Shmuel would have his blood let in a house, a structure that had seven bricks, and each brick is a tefach, is three tefachim, I think, right? Three tefachim each brick. Yeah, what is Rashi saying? Yeah, three tefachim. So in other words, each brick is three tefachim by three tefachim. It's not like our bricks, which look rectangular. They're square blocks. So the wall is a thick wall, one brick next to another brick. Not piled up, but one next to another, like a thick wall. So he says here, the Shavla Vinaya, V'aricha, and then a short brick. So seven, three tefachim bricks is 21 tefachim, and then 1.5 tefachim, 22 and a half tefachim. Yomachara, Avad, V'argish Benafshe. So one day he had the blood let in the regular place, and he felt like he, I guess, chilled or whatever. So Badak, V'chaser, Chadaricha. He checked, and there was one Ariach was missing, and that's why he felt off kilter. Rabbi Shmuel Darmi Tavayo, Haiman da Avid Milta, Lito Midi, Bahadar Lepuk. A person should have something to eat right away and then go out. Ilo Tai Midi, Ipaga Beshachva, Yarka Ape. Otherwise, if he doesn't have something to eat or taste right away after the bloodletting, if he encounters a corpse, Yarka Ape, his face will become Yarok. Here they translated it as, what do they translate Yarok as here? They said green. Okay. Do you remember in modern Hebrew it's really yellow? Who do you remember? Remember where we learned about the colors? Who remembers about where we learned that Yarok is not necessarily yellow?
Nida.
Right. Nida. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Dafyomi people. You remember? That's where we learned it. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, let's take a look. So he says, Ipagabanta Katalnafsha meet. If he encounters somebody who killed somebody, he'll die. I don't know. Ipaga, turn page on the top line on Amid Beis. Bedavar Acher, if he encounters Davar Acher, means a chazer, Kasha Davar Acher. He's more vulnerable to getting like tzaraz. So here, tzaraz doesn't mean the halachic tzaraz, but it means a skin illness. The pigs had lots of skin illnesses. But the point is, you want to have somebody to eat right after having blood let. Rabbi Shmuel Darmi Tarvayu, Haimanda Abid Milta, Lishipurta, he should wait a little bit. Bahadur Lekum, and then get up. In other words, he shouldn't stand up right away after having the bloodletting. He says, the Amar Mar, Chamishatvrim Krovim Lamita, Yoter Menachayim. There are five things that bring you closer to death than to life. Beiluhain, Achal V'yamad, if you eat and then you stand up right away. He says, Shatav Amad, you drink and you stand up right away. Yashan V'yamad, you slept and you stand up right away. He says, Hikiz Damba Amad, you had bloodletting and you stand up right away. Shimish Mitzov Amad, you had intimate relations with your wife and you stood up right away. All right, let me pause for 1 second. Who's got any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did?
What's considered right away?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. All right. Let me go on. All right. Let's take a look. Okay, we're on the fifth line from the top on Kuf Chav Ten Rebeis. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says the time between bloodlettings is every 30 days. In other words, once every 30 days is the appropriate time for bloodletting. Uvena prakim yamai. Bena prakim, when you get to a stage in life, bena prakim, Rashi says when you're age 40, for example, you should cut back. So instead of having bloodletting once a month, you have bloodletting once every 2 months. He says, Ubrena prakim yasur b'mayit. And then the next stage in your life, age 60, so you should have bloodletting once every 3 months. In other words, you're a little bit weaker when you get older. So he says, Va'amar Shmuel pursu d'dama. Now, Shmuel says the time for the bloodletting is chad b'shabta arba umali shabta. In other words, the time to have bloodletting is on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Well, sheni v'chamishi lo. But Monday and Thursday is a bad day for bloodletting. He says, Da'amar ma'ar, amishi shlo z'chud avot, yakiz da'am b'sheni v'chamishi. If a person has a lot of merits, then he could have his bloodlet on Monday and Thursday. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble. Why? Shebetin shamala v'shamata shavin ke'echad. Because that the Bezdin shamata meets on Monday and Thursday. And the, correspondingly, the Beis Din Shemala also meets on Monday and Thursday. So if you're like in like the Gemara takes it like you're in a more vulnerable position once you have the bloodletting, so you don't want to do it that way. Rashi brings down the Gemara says, Dam Nidon B'Kol Yom. We had the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we'll have it again. Person's judged every day. I assume the pshat is that the judgment is greater on Monday and Thursday. That's what I assume the pshat is. So I don't want to do that. Then he says, okay, so Monday and Thursday, we know why that's the kiss of death. What about Tuesday? Why is Tuesday a bad day to have bloodletting? So he says, Mishum Dekaima Le Ma'adim Bezave, because Ma'adim, which is Mars, is on an even hour, the eighth hour of the day. It means like Zugot. It means two things are bad. Ma'adim is Mars, and that's the sign for, you know, war and pestilence. Everything is bad with Ma'adim. And so there are Shiva Kochvei Lechet. There are seven stars that move around the sky at night. So it means if you look at the sky, let's say I'm looking at the screen at night, the sky is the screen. So I see during the course of the night, seven luminaries that cross the sky. So the seven luminaries are the sun, the moon, and the moon, sun is during the day, and the moon is also during the whole screen, it's a 24-hour screen. So the sun crosses the screen, you know, from beginning to end. The moon crosses the screen even during the night. And then I have Mercury, Venus, and then Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So those five planets. So the Gemara. So in the Chumash, we learned that the planets were created on Wednesday. So the way Chazal take it is that each planet was created and set in place at a certain hour of the day and has a certain, not that it's like astronomically different, but each planet exerts an influence during a different hour of the day. So in the art school, they have a chart. And if you look, if you have the art school, you can look at the chart. If you don't have the art school, you can't look at the chart. But the basic idea is the top part of the chart is nighttime. We're not interested in nighttime because you're going to bloodlet during the day. So leave out the nighttime. And if you look at the daylight hours, and then you take out Monday and Thursday, so we're left with Sunday. So we're looking, so the bad hour is when Ma'adim, when Mars comes out at an even hour of the day. The Gemara Pesachim says Zugot, pairs are bad news, Zugot. So hours which are Zugot are also bad. So I have Ma'adim, which is bad news, and then an hour that's like a Zug, like 8 hours, then I'm in trouble. So if you look at Sunday, then we're in the clear. And if you look at Monday, we're not doing it because Monday and Thursday are out of the trick. Then Wednesday, the only time is in the 12th hour, and the 12th hour is so far to the end of the day. Tosfos says we're not going to worry about that. It's like at night already. And then Friday, the Gemara is going to address. So Wednesday, though, or Tuesday, though, Tuesday, you see, at the 8th hour of the day, that's the hour for Mars. So let me get the Gemara open. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, So, Bitlata Bishabta Maitamalo, what's wrong about having bloodlet on Tuesday? Mishum Dekaimeli Ma'adim Bezave, because Ma'adim, Mars, is at like the eighth hour of the day. That's the hour that Mars has like a memshala, some memshala with that. Okay, so he says, Ma'ali Shabta Nami Kami Bezave. So the Gemara says, on Friday we also have that. And he was okay with that. Kame the Dashu Be Rabbi, Mishum Rab Tayim Hashem. Apparently, a lot of people would have bloodletting on Friday when a lot of people do it and no harm seems to come to them. So then we say Hashem, you know, guards the simple people. Okay, now Amar Shmuel, Revi'i Dehu Arba, Revi'i Dehu Arbesar, Revi'i Dehu Esrimi Arba, Revi'i Dehu Arba Batre Sakanta. So Shmuel says, even though I said it's okay to have bloodletting on Wednesday you're okay with the bloodletting, but if Wednesday is the 4th of the month, or Wednesday is the 14th of the month, or Wednesday is the 24th day of the month, or when there's a Wednesday and there's not 4 days left in the month, that's a sakana. I don't know why those numbers, but that's what he says. He says, Rosh Chodesh Rishani Lo Chulsha. If you get bloodlet on Rosh Chodesh or the second day of the month, that leads to weakness. He says, Shlishi Lo Sakana. You get bloodlet on the third day of the month, that's a whole sakana. He says, Ma'ala Yoma Tava Chulsha. If you get bloodletting on Erev Yontiv, that leads to weakness. Ma'ala Yoma Da'atzar Sakana. If you get bloodletting on Erev Shavuos, that's the worst. That's a sakana. The Gazru Rabbanan Akulu Mala Yoma Tava Mishum Yoma Tava De Atzeret. So he says that every Erev Yantiv was Nigzar because of Erev Shavuos. What's with Erev Shavuos? The Nafik Bei Zika, because a wind came out, Ushmei Tavuach. Its name is Tavuach, like slaughtering. De'ilo Kiblu Yisrael Torah, if the Klal Yisrael had not accepted the Torah, Habatabach Luhu, the Bistrayu Ludmai, we would have slaughtered all of them. So the point is, either it's referring to the day they said Nasav and Ishma, which could be Erev Shavuos, so then it's that way, or the wind was around and would kill them if they didn't accept the Torah on Shavuos. But because of this wind, so it's a sakana to have bloodletting on Erev Shavuos, and because of that, they said every Erev Yantav not to do it. Okay, now Amar Shmuel, Achal Chita Behekis Dam. He says Lo Behekis Lo Tachita. If a person had wheat and then he had hakaza, the hakaza is only going to help. In other words, the hakaza, makes you feel lighter or something like that. So it's only helpful vis-a-vis what you ate. In other words, you're not getting the full benefit of the hakaza if you eat wheat ahead of time before the hakaza. He says, v'hani milei l'refua. That's only when you do hakaza for refua. Avala okua meikil. If you just want to make you feel lighter, you're going to feel lighter. Hameikiz dam, shtila alter. So if a person has hakaza's dam, he should drink right away. Achila ad chatzi mil. For eating, you should wait a chatzi mil. A mil is usually 18 minutes, so wait achila 9 minutes. He says, Yibayim, the question was asked the base medrash, shtila alter male, so I should drink right away. About batra hachi kashi, is if I drink afterwards, I don't drink right away, but I drink afterwards, is that detrimental to his health? Odimalo kashi lo male, or it's not helpful, not hurtful. Teku, the Gemara says teku. Yibayim, who achila chatzi mil, who kamale, so he said, that achila, he says, ad chatzi mil. Give me one second. Make sure but I get this right. One second. Did I skip something? One second. No, here it is. Yeah. Achila chatzimil. Right. So it means, so for the achila, I should wait till a half hour goes. He says, achila chatzimil hu dekamale, habatra hachi umikami hachi kashi. Does it mean if I eat sooner or I eat later, that's detrimental? Odilma lo kashi lomale, like nishtahe nishtaher. It doesn't hurt, doesn't help. He says, teku. The Gemara leaves a teku. Okay, Machriz Rav announced, and here the way Rashi learns is not related to Kazas Dam. Mea kare bezuza. In other words, if 100 gourds are selling for a zuz, buy it. That's a good price. Mea reshe bezuza. If 100 heads of animals are selling for a zuz, buy it. But more than that, don't pay because it's not so helpful to you. He says, mea sefame v'lo klum. If they're selling 100 lips of the animal, below klum, and it costs nothing, don't even bother with it because that's not helping you in any way. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Ki Avidan Be Rav Huna. Rav Yosef, when I was in the basement, Rav Huna, Yom Mefagri Rabbanan. The day that Mefagri Rabbanan means the Chamim, they were late coming to the base medrash. So he says, and then Tosos has a different pshat. What is Tosos saying? Tosos says that they were weak and they couldn't study, but Rashi learns they were just late coming to the base medrash. Amri ha'idna yom ha'desfamehu. They said today is the day of sfame, like of the lips. He says v'lo yadana my kamri. I didn't understand what they were saying, but now that I understand that the lips of the animal are useless, so it's like yom ha'demafagim rabbanim. When everybody's late to the base medrash, it's like a useless day, and always people aren't grabbing the day the way they should. Okay, 30 seconds for questions, and we got to move on. Anybody have any questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up?
What is this hakaza about? Why did they do it?
For health reasons, they did it.
What health reason would they need to clean out blood?
Like in the time of George Washington, remember they were bloodletting him. They took blood from him, and then he died from all the bloodletting, I think. But that was viewed as a therapeutic thing. All right, I got to move on.
Also one other thing. They always say dingstick that Tuesday is a mazel dikitok.
All right.
And we're saying that Tuesday is not a mazel dikitok here.
Well, he said, wait a second, for Tlata B'Shabta, he says, for the bloodletting, it's not good. For the bloodletting, not good. Okay, let's go further. Let me wrap it up. All right. and say, look, now, okay, now on the fifth very wide line on Kuf Chaf Ten Amud Beis. So this is V'koshin HaTabur, we tie up the umbilical cord. So Tan Rabbanan Koshim HaTabur, the Brice learns without to tie it up. Rabbi Yossi Meir Af Chodchin, he says that we can even cut the umbilical cord. He says, V'tomnina Hashil Yathesh Yicham Avlad. This is working like with a skula, that we bury the placenta, or it's not going to be buried in the ground, but when we're going to envelop the placenta, so that will cause the woman to become warmer. That he says here, Amashul Benot Malachim Tomnot Bisfam Shal Shemen, like the aristocracy, the women, or the royal, the daughters of kings, they would put the placenta in a container with oil. And the oil is most expensive. Benot Ashirim Bisfokim Shal Tzemer. If they're wealthy people, they're not as high as the Benot Malachim, they put it in Sfokim Shal Tzemer. He said wads of comb wool. He says, but don't aniyim, the poor people, b'mochin. They just put it in soft rags. Okay, Amrav Nachman Ravua, Amrav Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. So the Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to cut the umbilical cord on Shabbat. The Amrav Nachman, Amrav Ravua, Amrav, Modim Chamim Rabbi Yossi, even the Chamim would say you're normally not allowed to cut the umbilical cord. They agree with Rabbi Yossi, but Tabur Shal Shni Tinokot. If you have two, presumably identical twins, and they have the same, I don't know, I need the Jessica Jacob for this, or Michael, like this, have the same placenta, or anyway, so he says, Shechotchin, there we could cut. My Tamad Menachi Adadi, they're like pulling involved with one another, and if we don't cut it, they're going to get like wrapped up with the umbilical cords. So it's best to cut it. It's a sakana if we don't cut it. And everybody agrees with that. But Amrav Nachman Amravua, Amrav Kulmor Parsha Tochicha Osin L'Chayah B'Shabbat. Whatever it says in the Parsha of Tocha, rebuke, we do for L'Chayah in Shabbos. Now it's talking about a parak in Yechezkel, not the Tochicha that we have in Bechukotai or Parshas Kitavo, but there's in the Nevu Yechezkel. So Yechezkel says, he compares the Jewish people to like a child that was left abandoned. In other words, I saw this child that was left abandoned, and then I took care of it, I washed it, and I did this, I did that, did the other thing, and the child was like an ingrate. And that's the way you, the Jewish people, are. I took care of you, you were in Egypt, you were nothing, I took care of you, and now you're a bunch of ingrates, you're doing Avodah Zarah. That's the Parsha Tochecha. So it says in the Pasuk, it says, Shenemar, Umodotayach, Biyom who let it otcha lo karat sharech. He says, I didn't read right. Biyom who let it otach lo karat sharech. On the day of your birth, your umbilical cord was not cut. Uvamayin leruchatz the mishi. And ignore where you washed with water to smooth the skin. You weren't salted at all. You weren't swaddled at all. Okay, so the Gemara now darshans those words. Okay, so he says, Umoto Tayach, Biyom who led it. He says, Mikan, Shemialdin of Lad B'Shabbat. He says, and we see we deliver a child on Shabbos. He says that on the day of your birth. One second. I don't see how it's a mukhrach that's on Shabbos. One second. I confess, I don't know how they see that. All right. I don't see how clearly it says Biyom who led it, but I don't know how it's Mukhrach that that's Shabbos. Just, it sounds like a Remez, but anyway, he says, Ed of Lad, B'Shabbat, Lo Karat Shareich, your umbilical cord wasn't cut. Miyakan Shechotchin at Tabur B'Shabbat. From here, we see that we can cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. In other words, you were left neglected, and these are things that should be done for a child. So, but I don't know. It sounds like this. I guess it takes like Modo Tayach Biyom who led it. In other words, that you were birthed, and it was when. So a child should be birthed. In other words, it should be assisted with the birth. So the Gemara says Mikan Shemel Din of Alad B'Shabbat. Lo Karat Shareich, your umbilical cord wasn't cut. Mikan Shechotchin Al Tabur B'Shabbat. We see that we do cut it on Shabbos, but it should be cut. V'Mayin L'Ruchatz L'Mishin, you weren't bathed in water. Mikan Shirochsin of Alad B'Shabbat. That we bathe the child on Shabbos. And I think it means even with warm water that we heat up. B'Hamlech lo humlach, you weren't salted, mikan shemolchin of la b'shabbat, v'hochtal lo chutalt, that you weren't swaddled, mikan shlampfin of la b'shabbat, hadralach mepanin. Let me do just the one line in the next parak, then I got to run. Okay, the top line on kuf lamed amin alf, and then we'll do more tomorrow. Okay, so Reb Lezer omer, im lo evi kli mir shabbat v'viu b'shabbat gula. So the Tana Reb Lezer, Mila is docha Shabbos. Mila is docha Shabbos. But it's machloket whether machshirei Mila, those things that are preparatory for the Mila, are they also docha Shabbos? So Tana Reb Lezer holds that even the machshirei Mila are docha Shabbos. So if I need a knife for the bris, I can carry it on Shabbos. We don't hold this halach lamaisa, but Reb Lezer holds I could. So Reb Lezer omer, in loy v'ikli mir shabbat v'viyo b'shabbat megula. So I could bring it on Shabbos exposed. So everybody sees I have this knife, and they see that I'm carrying the bris knife. But if it's time sakana, I'm afraid the goyim, they made rules, you can't give a bris mila, so I'll leave it uncovered, but I'll have aid in my head that saw that I put that knife there. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay, so that's it for today. Lean Eder, I'll see you tomorrow for another day of the Piyomi. Everybody unmute yourselves. Oh, let me get the recording. One second. Let me get the recording.